Over the past 2 weeks, I've spent time with Jeff Cavins and a number of our parishioners and other people from the state of Louisiana and across the nation in Poland on a pilgrimage, visiting many of the saints who have preceded us in our walk toward eternity. St. John Paul II, St. Faustina, St. Edith Stein, St. Maximilian Kolbe, and Blessed Jerzy Popoluski. And one of the beautiful things that we got to witness while we were in Poland was the faith of the people today. All the churches that we visited were packed, not only on Sunday, but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. People were in these churches all day long, worshiping God, adoring Jesus, repenting of their sins, growing in holiness, being disciples of Jesus Christ in the 21st century, because they have been inspired by these five saints of our generation. That's the witness of holiness. The witness of holiness is it doesn't just affect our community today, but it will affect the community of our future. Along with being inspired by these saints, we also had some pretty sobering moments as well. One of the places that we spent some time in was Auschwitz. And Auschwitz is a place where Hitler and the Nazis killed millions of Jews and Catholics. As we were going through the gas chamber, one of the pilgrims leaned over and said to me, "Do you think the people who did this, the Nazis who perpetuated these evil crimes against these people, do you think that they're in hell?" And I looked at this pilgrim and I said, I certainly hope not. He said, "You hope not?" I said, "Yeah, I mean, God wants all of us to be saved. Jesus Christ said to us through St. Paul in his letter to Timothy, I desire that all men be saved." That's the desire of Jesus, for all of us to repent of our sins and come into right relationship with God before we die. As we exited the gas chambers, we looked out and there was an execution station that was specifically put up for one of the Nazis who was responsible by himself. He was responsible for over 1 million deaths by himself. He was a man who was captured and put in prison, and while he was put in prison, he wrote an autobiography. His name was Rudolf Hess. There's two Rudolf Hesses who were both Nazis. One was SS, one was the commandant at the concentration camps. And in his autobiography, what he wrote was that he grew up as a child, he grew up Catholic. This man, this Nazi, grew up Catholic. His dad raised him to have duty to his religion and duty to his country. And so, though he had duty to his religion, he did not have an actual relationship with Jesus. And so as he got older, he strayed from his duty to his religion, but he maintained his duty to his nation. He fought in the First World War, and upon coming home from the World War, he entered the Nazis. He was one of the first Nazis under Hitler's regime. Eventually, he was put in prison because there was a journalist who began to write against the Nazis, and he murdered him. So he was in jail for a while, and whenever he was released from prison, he was invited by Hitler to go to the concentration camps. And he became known, he was infamous for being the most efficient murderer of Jews and of Catholics. Not only did he kill many Jewish people, but he also targeted clergy. If you were a religious sister, a nun, if you were a Catholic priest, you were his target. And so he one day rounded up a bunch of Catholic priests who were in a Jesuit community, and he put them in Auschwitz to kill them all. He thought he was killing them all, but there was one Jesuit priest who was not at home whenever they were all abducted. It was a superior, the pastor of that particular community. And so that priest, he went to Auschwitz himself. He went there and he said, "If you're going to kill my community of priests, you're going to kill me too." Hess was inspired by this priest. He admired this priest who had a duty to his brothers, who had a duty to his community, and he said, I'm not going to kill you, go back home. So that priest was sent back home while all his brothers were tortured and eventually murdered by the Nazis. This went on for a very long time, and then eventually Hess committed an affair. He was a married man with someone in the concentration camp, and so again he was sent away. But while he was away, they recognized no one is good at killing Jews and Catholics like he is. We need to bring him back. So he was brought back. There were a number of Hungarian Jews who were coming in on a train. It was the last batch of Jews that they were going to plan on killing before they shut down this particular concentration camp. 400,000. So they made sure that Hess was the man to complete this task. And within 1 week, Rudolf Hess murdered over 400,000 people. In 1 week, 400,000. Of course, we know history. The Nazis lost in the battle and he went into hiding. He was captured by the British, put into one of their prisons. They beat him. They tortured him. And they sent him back to Poland to go to trial there. And while he was awaiting his trial in Poland, he experienced something that he had never experienced in his life, at least in his recent memory. What he experienced was these Polish authorities did not beat him. They did not torture him. They did not curse him. They did not mock him. But they treated him with dignity and respect. He killed their people. He killed their family members. He killed their priest and their religious sisters. He killed their people, and yet they treated him with love. And because he was treated with love, his heart was softened. As his execution was coming up, he asked something of the Polish authorities that shocked them. He said, "Can you please find me a priest? I want to go to confession and repent." See, he remembered, though he did not have a personal relationship with Jesus, he remembered the rules of Jesus. He remembered what the scriptures said about reconciliation. He remembered that Jesus spoke and breathed on the apostles and told the apostles, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven. Whose sins you retain are retained." He remembered that rule in the gospel, and he wanted to be able to receive forgiveness through the successors of the apostles of Jesus Christ. The Polish authorities looked at him and they said, "We don't know any priest that would come and hear your confession. You killed priests. You killed nuns." And he said, I remember there was this one priest. There was this one priest. He was a Jesuit superior. I killed his community. His name was Father Lowell. I sent him home. Maybe he's still alive. And if he's still alive, maybe he will hear my confession. Maybe I can repent and receive the mercy of God through his ministry." And so they went looking for this priest, Father Lowell, and they found him. And upon finding him, he generously and joyfully went back to the concentration camp where he met this man who killed his friends, who killed his family. And he heard his confession. He gave him absolution. And after he gave him absolution, the next day, he gave him Holy Communion, the bread of life. And we know what the Word of God says about the bread of life, don't we? In John chapter 6, what does Jesus Christ say in John chapter 6 about the Eucharist? He says, "If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have what? Eternal life." Jesus Christ spoke that truth in the Gospel of John chapter 6. Rudolf Hess, who killed millions of people, innocent people, men, women, children, babies. He killed these people. Guess what? He received Holy Communion right before he was executed. Rudolf Hess is saved. This man is in the kingdom. Rudolf Hess is a saint. Maybe not canonized by He is a saint. He is dwelling with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit because this priest, Father Lowell, did not keep the gift of the sacraments that he received from Jesus Christ to himself, but he generously shared this gift with Rudolf Hess. Before Rudolf Hess was executed, he wrote three letters. He wrote a letter to his wife, and to his wife, he apologized to her, and he said, "I have to make this very clear. The reason why I lived such an immoral life and treated you so poorly and everyone else so poorly, I recognize now it's because I did not have a relationship with Jesus. It was my lack of faith that led to my immorality." He wrote a letter to his son, and he told his son, "Please be a man of faith, be a man of virtue, be a man of compassion." And he wrote a letter to the Polish people, and he said, "I'm sorry." This man received God's mercy, the grace of God, the love of God, the salvation that comes through Jesus, because this man received the gift through a priest, Father Lowell. Salvation does not belong to that priest. He could not keep it to himself. He had to share it generously with this man who lived a life as a monster, but now is dwelling with God as a saint. In today's gospel, Jesus Christ gives us a very difficult passage that can be quite confusing to a lot of people. They might hear it and say, "Wait a minute, there's this steward and there's this rich man." And just like today, if we have a lot of money, we have financial advisors. In the old days of Christ, they also had rich people who personally did not deal with their finances themselves, but they had stewards to deal with their finances. And in today's gospel, the steward was not a good steward. He was not good with the money, and all of a sudden the rich man said, "I'm going to have to let you go." And the steward said, "Well, what am I going to do, right? I'm a financial advisor. I don't work with my hands. I need people to take care of me." And so he went to all these people who owed money, and he said, "How much do you owe?" And he began to take money from the rich man and give it to these people. He took something that did not belong to himself, the rich man's wealth, the rich man's possessions, the rich man's goods, and he gave it to these people in hopes that once he helped these people out, then they would one day help him out as well. And Jesus Christ speaks of this steward as a wise man. But how can he be a wise man? Because he stole. He broke one of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are not only applicable to the Old Testament and the New Testament, they're applicable to all of us today. So how could this steward be lauded for doing something that wasn't just? Jesus Christ wasn't speaking literally here. He was speaking spiritually about something else. He was speaking about eternal salvation. What he was saying was that we, like the steward, need to go to God and receive something from God that does not belong to us and share it to other people so that they may receive eternal salvation through our witness, through their relationship with us. Like that priest received the mercy, the grace, the love, the forgiveness of God and generously gave it to Rudolf Hess before he died. You and I, all of us, we are called to go to Christ ourselves and receive his love, his mercy, his grace, his kindness, his forgiveness, and extend that to other people in our community. It does not belong to us and it should not stay with us. I cannot keep this gift to myself, but I must generously share it with every person in my community, including the people in my community who have hurt me, who have offended me, who have betrayed me and rejected me and abandoned me, who have abused my family members, who have talked against my parents or my children or my siblings, who have done things to me and people in my community that I don't even want to talk about to this day. If I have received the gift of God's love and mercy, then I must share it with everyone. I cannot reserve it for the few. I cannot reserve it for the ones who I like. St. Paul said in today's second reading, we pray for everyone. God is for everyone. And if someone has offended us, then maybe other people don't recognize how that person has offended us. Maybe other people view that person as a saint, but we know the truth about that person's sins. And we are the ones that God is calling to pray and to fast for them, so that they, whoever they are, can receive him, Jesus Christ, now and for all eternity. Because Father Lowell was generous with the sacraments with Rudolf Hess. Rudolf Hess, we know, is in the kingdom. Rudolf Hess now can help Father Lowell out because he is with God. What do the saints do in heaven? Are the saints just sitting around twiddling their thumbs? Do the saints who have preceded us in our walk toward eternity no longer care about us? Are the saints who were members of the body of Christ on earth, do they cease to be members of the body of Christ once they die? No. Jesus Christ said, once you abide in my love, you will always remain in my love. And nothing can separate you from my love, not even death. So the saints are in heaven as members of the body of Christ. Therefore, the rules of members of the body of Christ still apply to the saints in heaven. St. Paul said, pray for everyone. The saints in heaven are worshiping God, as we know from the book of Revelation, before the throne of God. They are crying out in worship and crying out in intercessory prayers for us. If we help a hardened sinner become a saint, then that person who is a canonizable saint in the kingdom of heaven will help us to experience, to remain, to abide in the love of God now and forever. So my invitation for all of us this week is to think about someone in our community, in your workplace environment, in your neighborhood, in your family, who has hurt you or someone you love dearly, who has offended you or someone who is very close to you. And I want you to pray and ask God to give you the grace to be intentional this week with offering up an intercessory prayer for that person, for them to receive, encounter, and dwell in the love of God. Offer up some kind of tangible sacrifice for that person, a concrete way of fasting for that person. For if God has been generous in his love and his mercy to us, and he has, then we ought to imitate our God and be generous with his love and his mercy and his forgiveness and his grace with our community, so that one day, together, we can all live in the love of God now and for all eternity.